While Lindy England is the name and face most associated with the abuses that went on at Abu Ghraib prison, many other people were involved and punished, both directly and indirectly. For General Janis Karpinski, the Abu Ghraib scandal brought about a very embarrassing and unfortunate ending to what had been a stellar career of military service. As the officer in charge of the Iraqi penal system, much of the blame fell squarely on General Karpinski's shoulders. But now, she's telling her side of the story in a book. Details of her 30-year career, including the scandal in one woman's army. The commanding general of Abu Ghraib tells her story. Janis Karpinski, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much.
And it's nice to have you. Now, do me a favor. Everyone's, even George Bush can't pronounce Abu Ghraib, and I heard you do it on TV the other day, and I'm not gonna learn it, but I just want to hear you say it correctly once.
Abu Ghraib.
Abu Ghraib.
Yes.
Okay. And for Americans, it's just easier to say Grabe, and really grab
right.
seemed to work for a while there. So, all right, let's start with the fact that you have an incredible career.
Well, I did, and I'm very happy that the book has come out and talks about a lot of that, because it goes a long way towards credibility.
Mm. And without getting into all of the details.
Mm-hmm.
In a man's world, succeeded every time you were given a position or an assignment, succeeded beyond expectations, were promoted, and did very well. Why do you suppose you did so well? Is it fact that you do such a great job, or was the Army sort of helping you along because they needed to show some women in positions of authority too?
Look, the Army never helped me along, but I would say that particularly in the last 10 to 15 years of my career, the Army didn't hurt me either. I think that I succeeded because I never asked for special treatment. I wanted a level playing field. That was my direction all the time. I didn't want to be treated as a separate category of an officer. I wanted a level playing field. So, for example, when we took the annual physical fitness test, I always took mine to the standard that the men were taking it. I did that because I didn't want anybody to say, well, your standards are easier as women. There were reasons that there were some differences in the grading, but I wanted them to see that I was competing on the same level as the men were. That
All
was
right.
very important to me.
You've got me nervous, because if I say the wrong thing, I'm pretty sure you could deck me in a heartbeat. I'm not even up to the men's standards myself. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk a little about Abu Ghraib. The scandal, of course, shocked the world, and there were arguments about it here as to whether, it was in a time of war, it was that bad or not, but I hopefully everybody's pretty much on the same page once they've seen the pictures. This happened without your knowledge, correct?
That's correct.
And it happened quickly, or did it develop over a long period of time? I got the sense from another interview I saw you in that things were going along very well for a while.
Well, detention operations were going along very well. During the war, I wasn't the commander at the time, but during the war, the 800th MP Brigade units held more than 8,000 prisoners. And when victory was declared on the 1st of May, when the president landed on the aircraft carrier, it was a normal procedure. Release procedures went into effect. They released most of them. The remaining very small population, they needed special release authority.
Sure.
Because of the categories, general officers, civilians, displaced, like refugees. But they were a very small population.
So they didn't show us all the smiling faces of the happy released Abu Ghraib prisoners who would say, they treated me good, I had a great time, the toilets were clean, everything was wonderful. They just show you the dozen or so that are in the naked human pyramid, and it makes it look like everybody went through that.
That's correct. But I will say now today, we should understand from those photographs that, first off, this was not torture or interrogation. These photographs were staged, they were set up, certainly humiliating acts, certainly abuse of a different kind. And why those soldiers ever participated or allowed themselves to be photographed, I don't know, because I've never had an opportunity to speak to any one of them.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously.
You're the commander, and you didn't get to dress down Lindy England
that's
and say,
correct.
What the hell were you thinking?
That's correct. So I can't tell you what they were told or what they were thinking, because when I asked for permission to speak to them once they were in confinement over at Camp Victory, and the senior legal advisor, Colonel Warren, the senior legal advisor to General Sanchez, told me himself, no, ma'am, you can't have access to them because they don't work for you.
They don't. And tell us about their unit, the people that were brought in to help with the interrogation. They weren't actually under you. They were really just brought in, and this all happened. And for some reason, you got to be a bit of a scapegoat here. But tell us where they came from.
Well, they were the military intelligence interrogators, the soldiers who were conducting interviews or interrogations before this record number of these so-called security detainees started to arrive. We had no infractions. We had no reports of any kind of aggressive techniques or anything. Then General Miller came to visit the first week of September. Cell Block 1A and 1B transfers to the Military Intelligence Brigade Commander, and following General Miller's visit, these contract interrogators, civilian contract interrogators, started to arrive out at Abu Ghraib to conduct these interrogations, to show the military interrogators better ways to get information, actionable intelligence. And these civilian interrogators, there's no rules that apply. So they're not subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice like military people are.
But wait a minute, Lindy England wasn't civilian.
No, she was not. And she was not an MP either. But some sworn statements that have been released under court order indicate that Lindy England was, they sent for her specifically because when they were making these photographs, one of the contractors said, you know, we really need a female in this picture. And, of course, Specialist Sergeant Greener at the time, who was on shift, said, I know the perfect person
will do whatever I tell her.
Right.
Ouch.
As commander of this prison and others, how often did you actually get out there and go to these places?
Well, you know, Abu Ghraib, there's no question, was the most notorious location. We were moving along a path from July up until September when General Miller came to visit. We were making it a facility for practical use only. We did not have any long-term ideas for Abu Ghraib. It was a terrible location. So Abu Ghraib was one of the facilities I certainly visited and talked to prisoners and soldiers at every one of the facilities. In the beginning, I was probably at Abu Ghraib 4 days a week, you know, some part of the day. That was when the prisoner population was largely Iraqi criminals, small criminals, nonviolent, looting, missing curfew, that kind of a thing.
General, you had a wonderful career. Congratulations and thank you for that.
Thank you.
When they come to you and say, we're going to bring in civilians to do work that that you guys aren't specialized enough to do, I mean, how do they sell that to you as a commanding officer, saying your people aren't good enough? We're going to bring in, you know, dog walkers and civil engineers who know how to stack better, because that's what we're going to do with these people.
Well, you're asking a very important question, because the answer will go a long way towards understanding the difference. They didn't say that to me. They may have said that to Colonel Pappas, because interrogations was his lane. Interrogations were not my responsibility. And detention operations, yes, but not interrogations. It's completely separate and apart from detention.
Hmm. And you're just holding them. Yeah, someone else is interrogating them.
They took the results. They took the lines of the chain of command, the lines of command. They took it away completely.
So, Janice.
Yep.
Why did they whack you then? What possible involvement did you have?
Well, I've said I check a lot of blocks. I was a reservist, and there hasn't been a lot of support for Reserve or National Guard from the Pentagon. They wanted to show that, I think they wanted to show through me and through these soldiers that, you know, you send them to war and see what happens. They're incompetent. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. You send interrogators there, contract interrogators, and rules and laws don't apply. You give them full authority to do whatever's necessary to get the information with no responsibility whatsoever. So they knew, they kept me away from even finding out about these interrogation practices. They did it by design, intentionally, because they knew that if my MPs or if I found out about this, we would have stopped it immediately, complained to the highest levels, and kept going until we got some kind of a response. And, of course, they didn't want it stopped.
So it was hidden from you.
That's
funny.
Right.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's like...
It's terrible. It is, in fact, criminal that these people were allowed to do these things. No background, no training in interrogation operations for the most part. They come over there at the direction of General Miller.
I think they've been to a few biker bars, though, where they had to ask somebody where their girlfriend was or something.
You know,
they've had some
I have to tell you that
experience.
A lot of my MPs that were doing these detention operations, so they'd take pleasure in telling me, you know, I'm a biker or whatever, but they never would have behaved in such a manner.
There you go. Janice, once, of course, it happened, it was terrible, and it was
right?
a terrible a blow to our credibility all over the world.
Absolutely.
What, if anything, do you can you second guess or Friday morning quarterback should have been done differently, or did we handle it as well as we could have under the circumstances?
You know, I can tell you this, that if they left detention operations alone, if they left it as just detention operations, we never would have had this problem. But they needed to incorporate the interrogation operations so they had somebody to blame. The photographs released to the world all of the information that was necessary to let people know everywhere around the world that this was authorized and was going on. We like to believe that at least the photographs stopped this, but we even have reports as of early as recently as Friday that soldiers are still doing this. So it didn't stop, likely because the instructions are still being given. And I think that, you know, that it got so far off track from the very beginning. And a little departure became a medium departure, became a big departure. And people gave authority to people to do this.
So, Janice, lastly, and this is mm-hmm. a bit of a departure here, but I think you'd be the kick-ass Survivor contestant of all time. Can you go to the CBS website and sign up for Survivor?
Sure.
Oh, man.
I'd love to do it.
Talking about a nation rooting for you.
Yeah, and also, you know, afraid to get on her bad side. All right. Janice, thank you very much for telling that story.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Which company is cracking down on bathroom time? Before I tell you, let's talk about the amount of time you spend in the bathroom per day on average guest. Joe?
Per work day or per day in general?
Per work day. Not your whole day. Not I don't want to know about home. I really don't.
Okay.
Something about a 9-hour shift, an 8-hour shift, right? Because you don't count your lunchtime.
Well, we're on salary, so our shifts vary. But let's just say it's an 8-hour shift.
Now, are you talking in the bathroom or from the time I leave my post to the time I return?
My God.
It does take him a while to walk to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, the actual time spent
here, what?
Making bathroom.
The time you leave your post to the time you return, that's bathroom break.
Okay, well, that's pretty easy. I get here at 4 a.m.
Have you timed one, by the way, today?
Well,
it sounds like you were researching this question pretty thoroughly.
Ours are somewhat easily timed because we are playing, any time I go during the show, is we're playing commercials, obviously. That's right. The only time I get a chance to get out. And I hastily do my thing and get back. And so I'm guessing...
Don't beat around the bush, Joe. Roughly how much time does each bathroom break take you?
It takes me about 5 minutes. 4 to 5 minutes for, you know, a hasty break. I mean, to get there, get done, get back. 4 to 5 minutes. I take one of those prior to the show, and then I take... Oh, probably 7 during the show. So that's 5 times 8. That's 40 minutes. Now, after the show, I'll take a more leisurely, you know, 10-minute break.
How can you not weigh 82 pounds?
Well, I drink a lot of coffee. I go through 2 full pots of coffee during the first six hours I'm here every day. 2 hours prior to the show.
You go through
hours.
2 full pots of coffee?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you about that.
Full?
I stop drinking coffee about 9 a.m. I drink coffee from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. every day. I tried not drinking coffee for a while, and it just didn't work. I just couldn't get going.
You couldn't get that furious energy going, could you?
Not. This is my highly caffeinated rate of speed here.
So that's not good for you, by the way.
Oh, it's
you're not supposed
good.
To go that often.
Well, it cleans out your system, though, I think.
Is there a doctor in the house? If you drink so much caffeine that you need to spend 40 minutes in the bathroom in 5 hours?
You're taking up time that you could be drinking water. It kind of negates a little bit some of the water you drink.
Well, I used to do it with a gallon of water.
We might as well just lay you down in Seattle Center and call you the fountain.
Have kids romping you during the summer months.
Now, remember, there's travel time in there.
A little fountain.
I'm not spending 40 minutes in the bathroom.
Travel time,
I'm spending a minute and a half getting
but
back
But that many
forth.
Trips, that's bad. That's first off, I don't think that's healthy. If there's a medical professional listening, 1-800-252-1025. Would you do me a favor and tell Joe he's got to cut the caffeine down? Because that's I just got this whole thing. There was like, for any guy who goes a lot, pees a lot, it's just us girls in here. We can talk, right?
Right.
It's bad for your prostate. It's just a bad sign.
Well, it's also at night, which is off the clock, obviously, but I tend to have to get up 2 or 3 times a night. And I don't know if that's a...
That's a bad sign, too.
Two or three times is not good, yeah.
When's your last prostate and blood work and all that?
About a year ago. I'm due at the first of the year.
Due at the first of the year, huh?
Yeah.
Just like paying your taxes, huh?
Yeah, once a year, I hate to say it.
Well, yeah, you want to get that under control there, my friend.
Well, I drink a lot of liquid. I think you're supposed to.
You could not work for Ford Motor Company.
Probably not with the rules that they have set forth.
Ford Motor Company wants to limit employees to 48 minutes per shift for bathroom breaks. When I first saw that story before Joe did his tally, mm-hmm. I said, well, it's impossible. It's an 8-hour day. That means you're spending almost one of the hours. Your productivity at that point, you're losing 15-20% of your productivity. No one does that.
It's 10%. It's a 10% of an 8-hour shift. Yeah. It's exactly 10%.
Is it exactly?
10%.
Well, if you're in a big factory, I mean, we're only in a reasonably small building here, and I need 5 minutes, you know, to go get things taken care of. If you're in a big factory, they may have to spend 5 minutes walking each direction. One break could be almost a 15-minute process.
So how is Ford going to measure people? Are they going to use little chips like we had in the Portland Marathon where it's attached to your shoe and you go by a sensor that says, you know, punches you out and punches you back in?
When you're on an assembly line, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something similar to that, because when you leave your post, that, you know, somebody's got to fill in for you or something. You're building cars here. I mean, you're going down the line, and your job is to put a specific part on that car.
That's
so
true. You got to have somebody step in your shoes.
What happened at Ford is that the bean counters got together. You know how they do their study of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Times are tough. They're struggling to turn around their North American auto business, and someone said, oh, I know how we could do it.
We could eliminate one of the stand-ins if we could just keep people down to 7 potty breaks a day. That would get it done for us.
And what they're saying is, we'll give you 48 minutes, but other people are abusing that and going over, and they put a tersely worded memo out to the whole company saying, at this one plant, you've got to stick to this 48 minutes or less, because you're costing us lots of money here.
Not going to work. You want to know why?
Why?
There are lots of people who will use their sick days. You know that use my sick day mentality? I got 2 sick days left, and it's December. I feel a cold coming up.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same people that will say, I only used 26 minutes yesterday. I've got 48 minutes of potty time now.
I'm going to go 22 minutes out. Bye.
I wouldn't call it a sick day, but it rhymes with sick. You know, I
can't even imagine.
Something time.
Well, I just don't think you can mandate that time. I mean, everybody's a little different. I don't think there's companies out there that say, you know, you've got to take this amount of time.
Anybody out there, let's do that. Is there anybody out there that has a company that's got some sort of oppressive bathroom strategy going? Go ahead. And be anonymous. Disguise your voice if you want. I want to name the company. This is terrible. Ford, some efficiency expert came up with this. It's bad. It's not going to help. It's going to hurt, because people will think they have to take 48 minutes in the bathroom.
Well, I know companies that make you take breaks. They make you take a mandatory 10-minute coffee break a couple times a day.
And that's when you go to the bathroom, and you can't go other times. Do you have an oppressive bathroom strategy? All right, let's just go to the phones. 1-800-252-1025. Do you think that's an oppressive policy? I do. And who's got a tale of woe to tell about their own place of employment? Jeff, you're in Bremerton. Hi, Jeff.
The place I used to work for was the Internal Revenue Service at their phone site in Seattle. And they were really bad. You basically had to take your leak on your own time. The only way you could get around it is if you got a little bit creative, as far as, like, they used to call wrap-up time. When you finished up a call and do the paperwork, I knew a couple people that took about 15 or 20 minutes to wrap up a call.
And wrapping up means what?
Doing the paperwork or whatever referral that you had to do.
You didn't bring the papers with you, did you?
What's that?
You say you could sneak off to the bathroom while you were wrapping up a call?
Yeah, what you do is you basically had to push a button to get the next call. So basically, you were kind of off the loop. So what you do is you basically take off your headset and run to the bathroom.
But they were timing you. They knew where you were at all times.
Absolutely. As far as how much time you had on the call or as far as wrap-up time.
And how exactly was it written down in an employee manual? How exactly did they tell you that your body's natural functions were not permitted by the U.S. government during the hours that you were supposed to? I mean, did they actually spell it?
Any leaks are viewed as treason.
They would never spell it, but you would always hear about it from your manager.
Okay.
Carl Rove.
This is a scandal because they can't write that out on a piece of paper.
No, they can't. No. They never do. But they have to have production, just like you were saying about Ford. What they would do is basically they would time how long it would take you to do the calls, how many calls you would answer, and depending on what you were answering, for instance, you would be assigned to a specific gate. That would basically give the managers their bonuses or their, you know, good grades or whatever you want to call it.
Right. And then, so you worked for an evil manager. Thank you, Jeff. Who else has lived under an oppressive bathroom regime? 1-800-252-1025. Or if your job just makes it very difficult, like Kelly. Kelly, hello.
Hey, happy Monday. Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy Halloween.
I have to go to the bathroom right now.
Oh, that's nice,
thanks,
Kelly.
Thanks for calling us.
Makes this one of those shock radio programs at this point, I guess.
We're keeping you home.
Now, I'm a truck driver, and bathrooms are few and far between. We have to time them, you know, or at least I do. I mean, the guys probably don't have to worry about it. They can just pull off to the side of the road and pick a tree. But for women out here on the road, it's kind of difficult. I have my spots. I know exactly where I have to be, where I got to, you know, and where the best ones are.
Where the best ones are. So you rate them on a scale of 1 to scuzzy.
And there are some out there, you know, like on the top of the pass, those are the best ones. I stop up there and I can use, they're nice and clean and, you know, and get something to eat or something to drink. But there's some bad ones out there. You got to time them. And these companies that, you know, they have these bathroom times, they wouldn't even, I don't think they can survive out here.
Now is this your company regulating you and wanting you to be fast and move the merchandise fast, or are you basically regulating yourself here?
Well, we're required to do 2 trips a day back and forth to Ellensburg, but you know, I mean, we've got our time. We're okay. We're not, you know, no stopping or anything like that. You know, we can have our breaks and our bathroom times if you need to, but I don't think I could survive in an office.
And this was recently a part of legislation that the men were, you know, using these gallon jugs, men truckers, and now there's laws against it because one of them...
Yeah, that's disgusting. And you see them alongside the road and you think, oh, come on, you know, find a different way to dispose of that stuff. But, I don't do that. I don't think I could.
Yeah, it'd be harder for you.
What happened to one of them, Joe?
They passed laws against it because they were using these jugs and littering, and a lot of truckers were upset saying, we don't have any choice. Our company doesn't give us the time to do it
right,
any other way.
Strict time deadlines.
No, we're not regulated in that way at all.
Kelly, you're in a kind of a man's world as a lady truck driver, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that men don't flash themselves for you when you're up above them like that in the truck?
You see quite a few things out here, but this isn't the topic, right?
No.
Right.
Moving along. Thank you, Kelly. Christy is in Sumner. Christy worked at a hair salon, and what was their rule?
Well, they didn't have a rule in the policy book, but I was a technician, so I did everything chemical. So we would layer our clients. I would do a foil and a touch-up. And so maybe every 2 hours you would have maybe a 10-minute break in between your cycle of clients to go to the bathroom. I mean, we used to joke with our medical clients if they could get us, you know, IV caffeine drip and a
catheter.
I know it's coming. We'd be good.
Never and that, leave the head.
Is this oppressive by your employer, or is this just the nature of your job?
No, because now I own my own salon, and so in between my clients, I will run to the bathroom, or while they're processing, I will run to the bathroom. But at the salon I worked at, they booked you so tight, there was just no way.
Okay. They didn't give you time. Thank you. Liz in Tacoma works at a notable provider of cable television, who may or may not be a sponsor of this program.
Years.
Yes.
And like the guy at the IRS, we weren't allowed to go. We had rap time just like him. We had 2 15-minute breaks that were a certain time. If you didn't get off the phone call on that time, you missed your break or your lunch. And if you didn't go relieve yourself that time, you were out of luck. And if we were ever caught using our rap time to go to the bathroom, we would they would find another job opportunities for us elsewhere.
You mean to tell me that if you didn't cut a caller off to get your break, you missed your break completely?
No, you would get it, but it would be late, and then people would be mad at you because the call times would be off, because the other people weren't, if one person got off, everybody got off, it messed up the incoming calls.
And these job opportunities elsewhere, did they, say, if you like the bathroom so much, you can do that and clean instead? Or, they just fire you?
They just fired
her. Fire you.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I don't work there anymore. Not because of the bathroom. I just I didn't like the leash, and I wanted to go pee when I wanted to.
That's well, it. Who doesn't?
You know, and now here you are in America, and welcome. Welcome
Thank
back
you.
To our country. 102.5 KZOK. Freddie Prinze Jr., the young, hot actor you've seen in Scooby-Doo, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, is now taking his career to the next level, starring in a new sitcom he also co-created and serves as executive producer of. Freddie, inspired by Prinze Jr.'s real-life childhood, being raised by his mom and Puerto Rican grandmother. You can catch Freddie Wednesdays at 8:30 on ABC right after George Lopez. Freddie Prinze Jr., welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Yourself?
I'm making a little something I like to call the world's greatest paper airplane.
Hey.
Dude, there's nothing you can't do.
That's it.
This airplane, literally, if I threw it out the window right now, would not land ever.
Ever.
That's how good it is.
Well, that impresses a lot of people here, Freddie, because this is the paper airplane-making capital of the world. We got Boeing engineers who have a competition every year to try to make the furthest one to fly, and they can make them go a long way.
I got this one. This engineer taught me how to make it. It's like a ring.
Uh-huh.
It's real tight on one end, and then you actually use the point of the paper to balance it. And we'll go to Dodger Stadium to watch the Dodgers play, and I have a suite up there, and I'll throw it out of the suite, and it literally never lands.
Until it hits somebody's aorta.
Well, yeah, but, they had that coming.
Sure.
Explains their year.
Probably rooting for the Giants.
And that's what you get.
Anyway.
That's what you get for sitting way down where gravity can do a lot of work before something
exactly,
gets to you.
Exactly.
Just poor planning. So, Freddie, congratulations. You, let's see, you are the youngest ABC executive producer in history. You're married to Sarah Michelle Gellar. You've got your own show. You're in movies over and over again. It's pretty
Best
hard.
Parking spot on the lot.
It's pretty hard not to say I am doing just fine, right?
Yeah, they make all the Spanish people actually share one spot. So, it's sort of weird. Me, just like Leguizamo and George, we have to carpool to work because they only give us one spot.
They make you share 1 hour on the primetime schedule, too. Is
yes,
that,
they do. Well, that's something that George and I, we actually lobbied for, and we thought it would be really good for both of us. George has never really had anyone that, sold their show as well as his, and you can't mention George's name without hearing mine, and vice versa, because we make sure of that. So we really try to team up and look after each other.
Sure, that's a good block of programming. And now, seriously though, with all of the success and everything, is it does it go to your head at all, or do you still approach every day like I've got to work extremely hard to make this? Well, does it come easy to you, or is it?
I've been doing this for coming on 12 years now, and there's easy days and hard days. But if I changed my approach for 1 second, then everything will fall apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't. This show means. Look, my father has motivated every decision that I've made in this business, and if for 1 second I slow down and blink, I get worried that people will forget about him or the business that I'm in, which only says such negative things about him, instead of realizing the doors that he opened. I won't let people forget, so I work harder than anyone I know. If I'm not acting in it, I'm writing. If I'm not writing, I'm selling the show. I don't get days off, so... As far as work ethic goes, nothing has changed since day one.
You and Lopez very, very much the same that way too. I noticed that about him.
Oh, absolutely. Strong, George is exactly the same.
If you two keep working together and negotiating together, does that officially make you a gang?
I don't. Well, in L.A. it would. They'd be like, "Oh my God, there's probably 100 Mexicans outside."
Hey, save your number.
I don't know. I guess we just look after each other. You know, we don't. I don't. He survived for 4 years with no one helping him.
You know, we've had George on a bunch, and there's never been a better gentleman that's ever come on our show. So to say that
he's good. George is good people, yeah. Man. He's been around the block, and he's got a very solid perspective on life and a business, which the business's perspective is extremely warped, and he somehow managed to stay normal.
Freddie, I'm really proud to hear you say how much your dad means to you and how important it is that you keep his legacy going. In Hollywood, that makes me feel really good about you. Do you get to watch a lot of his stuff? Do you dig at his old shows and his old performances and just have home movies?
Oh man, I grew up on that. I mean, I know every word by heart, and I have since I was 10 years old. You know what I mean? Like I won't ever forget that. People, you know, it's tricky because in Hollywood, it doesn't sell magazines to say, you know, look at all these doors that Freddie Prinze opened. It sells magazines to talk about, you know, the nature of his death. They never talk about, like, without Freddie Prinze, there is no George Lopez. Without Freddie Prinze, there is no John Leguizamo. There is no Carlos Mencia. Now, those guys will be the first to tell you, but the business that talks about them will never, ever, ever say that. And I'm going to keep doing this until they do. I won't stop, ever. I mean, at the end of every show, the Hungry Rican logo comes up. That was my father's logo.
The Hungry Rican,
looking good, which was his famous, his sort of famous quote. So I won't let people forget.
In these days of DVD repackaging, is Chico and the Man available? Or are they bringing out some of your dad's stuff?
You know, I hope they do. I would like to see. I heard that it's on. They actually are playing the shows on some channel. It may be TV Land. It may not be. I don't remember which one it is, but I heard that they're planning on doing that, which is nice. I wish they would. You know, it was his third season, so there's not enough of them to technically be syndicated. So it would be a quick cycle if they did actually run the episodes. But I would love it if they would.
I'd like to have the box set, though. That'd be nice.
That's it. So Freddie, inspired by your real life childhood, how inspired and how much do you get involved with like, do you just step in there and say no, like this? Do you change it around, or is it loosely inspired?
No, I mean, we stayed pretty tight. I mean, I had a rule when we got started. I said, look, if I'm gonna use my real life, then you guys have to use your real life. And that went for all my writers and all my directors. Mm. And so they all make a contribution. But at this point, we've shot our ninth episode now. Our tenth episode we'll shoot next week. We had the week off, which basically means we write every day instead of act. But, you know, everybody sort of has the voice of the characters and understands what motivates them to do what. So I don't have to be as on it. They're very qualified and have been doing this for more years than I have in some cases. So I trust them completely, but any opportunity I have to be in the writer's room, I'm there.
Now,
I love being in there because that's where all the original ideas and the original jokes and the very first laugh comes from. It's all discovered in this little itty-bitty room that we write in.
Now, forgive me for not knowing, but is your mom still around?
Yeah, my mother's still around. She's living in New Mexico and relaxes and just enjoys her life. I make sure that she doesn't have to work
and just sort of kick
back and relax for a while.
I wish I could have done that. My mom's not around, and every once in a while I make jokes about her, so I guess you're making jokes about your grandmother. Do you ever wonder, do you ever, look up to the heavens and go to grandma, well, I hope that's okay with you?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? My grandmother's still alive, bro.
Oh, wow, I'm sorry.
She'll smack him upside the head, buddy.
So she can come and hit you in person. See?
Oh, yeah, I don't tell her that I have a show. What she doesn't know won't hurt me, you know what I mean? So
okay.
She has no idea. When's your next movie?
Is your great-grandmother dead? Wow. All right. Well, congratulations. And so they're there. So are they executive consultants if they're still around?
Don't say that on the radio.
Oh,
no, are you kidding me?
All right. Catch Freddie Wednesdays at 8:30 on ABC right after George Lopez. Freddie, you're a gentleman. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate the time.
Bye-bye. Freddie Prinze, Jr. Ouch. So just his dad is gone.
Yeah.
The rest of the family generations are still around.
Yeah, I do enjoy the questions that you asked to figure out that the rest of his family is
okay, so I'm assuming your grandma is dead. Go with that question.
She'll be dead.
What a great kid, though, huh? I'm thoroughly impressed.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
To have such a positive feeling about his dad, who, you know, sadly took his own life.
Now, I don't know the exact details on Freddie Prinze Sr. What happened?
He's committed suicide at the height of his game. Successful just network television comedy, you know, groundbreaking. Like you said,
Chico
the first,
and the man.
First
yeah.
Latino on television, on primetime television on a regular basis ever. And guy committed suicide at the height of his career. Probably wasn't a funnier guy on the face of the earth at that point in time.
So tortured
yeah, oh, yeah,
inside.
Obviously sick.
Because we've seen a lot of comics go, but it's usually, you know, a combination of drugs and poor eating habits.
They commit a slower form of self-destruction.
That's right.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours, I could teach you.
Okay, why would Nestle Chocolate be very upset with the manufacturer of a women's nursing clothing manufacturer? Well, the special clothing that is for women who are breastfeeding mm-hmm. is, you know, it's got the little pouches, it's got the little buttons, it's made for discreet mm-hmm. nursing in public, basically.
And easy access.
And yet Hershey wants to cause them to change their name. The company's been around a while. Nobody bothered them until they started to get really big and go national. The name of the company that makes nursing wear for new mothers is Milk Duds, with a Z.
D-U-D-Z.
Does Hershey really have nothing better to do than to sue these guys?
That sort of was awesome. My opinion. Hershey, that's pretty mean of them. Why don't you go back and make sure that the kids in Africa picking your chocolate are working hard enough? The African slave children. Why don't you do something about that? Yeah, Hershey is very upset, and the company, let's call Milk Duds.
Which one?
Yeah, wait,
it's not Hershey. Milk uh-huh. Duds. Milk Duds is the name of the company. I know. Where is Milk Duds located? Well, they're not in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's where this press release comes from. Check them out online. Milk, D-U-D-Z.
All one word, I think.
Yes. It's a clever, you know, it's a clever name. Here's the issue, and I have no idea who's in the right here, because this will go to court and be in court for a long time. I can tell you how it'll come out, though.
Well, I'm curious about that, because I've read both sides, and I kind of agree with both sides. Because Hershey says that you're stealing our name, which I can certainly agree with that. You wouldn't have thought of that name without their product out there.
Oh, I don't know that that's true. Milk and Duds means clothing. Why not? In fact, I'm sure they thought of the name and then went, oh, funny, and it also is
so
similar
cute.
To the candy.
I don't think you'd think of it without
you got the milk. You got your milk here, and we need some duds to make it easy to get to.
And that's what they say, is our product is totally unrelated to Hershey's, and we don't compete with them in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, people are not going to go into the store and go, you know, I'm on my way to get some chocolate
candy.
I want
a box of Milk Duds. What are you doing with those clothes? I want Milk Duds.
They do not compete in the same space at all.
But isn't the clothing company making money off the notoriety of the candy? You got to admit they are.
Are they making money off the notoriety of the candy? That's the accusation. The accusation is that Milk Duds, the clothing place, is capitalizing on the name recognition of Milk Duds to avoid having to build up their own brand. I agree with the first half of it. They are okay. capitalizing on the name Milk Duds.
Right.
Just as Taco Time is capitalizing on the word taco. And Taco Bell is a different store. They say they need to call it something else besides a taco. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, it is milk. It's not milk. It's not like Hershey owns the word milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Duds, it's D-U-D-Z. Duds are clothes.
Yeah.
It's two words that each have their own separate meaning, and those two words describe perfectly what these clothes are.
Wow. Now, if I say my name was Taco and I worked at kids' parties as a mime, if I was Taco Mime, would I would that be a copyright infringement?
Maybe.
I'm not competing, I'm not selling tacos, but I'm using their name to make mine more familiar.
Well, we wanted to go right to the source, so we have Kirsten Wall on the phone. She is the founder of Milk Duds with a Z in, is it Temecula, California? Kirsten?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Well, we're reading about the lawsuit between, and is it a full-blown lawsuit yet, or is it just a bunch of saber-rattling?
No, actually, it all started this past April, and now it's been official that they are going through the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to get our name kind of reversed or refused, denied, whatever you want to say.
Is your name already registered with the Patent and Trademark
it
Office?
It is. Oh. We trademarked it June of 2004, and Hershey got wind of it, and April 2005 asked the USPTO to grant them an extension of time so that they could come up with a good case against us. And their deadline for that was August 17th. So August 15th, I received a 5-pound bar of chocolate and a letter asking me to just kindly stop using my name and give them the domain rights, and here's your chocolate and everything will be okay.
So, wow, that's the Hershey. Yeah, that's the Hershey equivalent of a horse's head in your bed. When you wake up, you know.
Seriously, I was afraid to eat it, but I had to keep it because nobody believed it.
It's evidence at this point.
It is evidence. They tried to bribe you, obviously, with chocolate picked picked by child slaves
that might be Nestle.
I heard that Hershey bought the chocolate from the slave children. I would counter with all that slave children stuff as loud as I could. So here's the deal. It's an interesting case, by the way, because on the surface it looks bad for you. The pronunciation Milk Duds is exactly the same, and their word is Milk Duds. Now theirs is about candy. And it's registered, I assume, as protecting candy only. Is that right?
You are absolutely correct.
See, when you register a trademark, in order to protect it for all forms of products,
mm-hmm. you have to pay for it.
You actually have to pay for it. And you have to say, we might make, you know, women's undergarments someday, so we don't mm-hmm. protect that. And you can't even do that because you have to send them samples of the women's undergarments. You have to actually send them samples of how your trademark is used.
You're absolutely correct.
And unless Hershey's has made some, breast milk access clothing.
They're good with foil, but I don't see how practical that would be.
Yeah, the foil.
Right. You know.
Although they could. I mean, the whole chocolate wearables,
Yeah, we don't want to get there. Yeah, we don't want to go down
the
road.
So in reality, in pure black and white terms, Hershey does not own a trademark on clothing using that name. Plus, it is a name that is, I'm helping you, I hope you understand with your lawsuit.
Trust me, I know. That's
you know
why
all
I
of this
confident
stuff.
In trademark court, absolutely. Well,
sure, because the name is a combination of two words. It's not like they invented a thing called, think of something that someone has completely invented. They made up a name and it doesn't mean anything else.
Eminem?
Gobstopper.
Gobstopper Gobstopper is a name. See, a hula hoop is a combination of two words.
Okay.
Hula and hoop.
Right.
And those are less, it's less easy to protect those because you yourself borrowed those words for what they said.
They've been hula dancers for years.
Right.
Before the hula
right.
hoop.
And so there's no doubt that the word milk was coming out of a woman's breast way before it was a chocolate candy.
It was called milk.
Amen.
Clearly.
You're right.
Yeah, baby! Can I go up and argue for you?
Yes, can I forward you my information? Can you represent me?
I would.
And the other argument you can use is, although Hershey's has trademarked the word kiss for candy, Gene Simmons uses that word and makes millions of dollars.
How about that? Yeah. Kirsten, do you have that one written down, too?
That's a good one. I'm jotting that down as we speak.
Okay, so she already knows all this stuff. Her lawyer's already told it all. But you're being really sweet to us. We really appreciate it for the fun publicity. So you see, and Duds is a slang term for clothing that has been around forever. So clothing whereby which you would access milk to nourish a baby, something that has been done since the dawn of mankind, since way before Hershey even figured out that you could pick cocoa beans
right.
and make something that didn't get you high with them.
Right. The first milk dub was made of, I believe, saber-tooth tiger skin.
That's right.
You know?
So you actually, when it comes to precedence, you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and Hershey is just a recent blip on the landscape.
You're absolutely right.
But
absolutely.
You got to admit it. The reason you named your company this is because you got the idea from their candy.
You know, the truth is no. I mean, the truth is you would think that, but no. When we started the company, our whole premise was to bring style to breastfeeding, real high-end style, and that had never been done before. So we really wanted a catchy name that explained exactly what we were doing and who we were catering to. The market is so saturated with wonderful maternity designers and designers for children's clothing, and they're everywhere. Everywhere you look, Posh Tots, and we wanted something that just spoke to our exact demographic, and we could not. We were looking up synonyms for clothes, and we found togs and rags, and
duds.
None of that seemed to go with it. And then we saw duds, milk duds, not your mama's nursing wear. And the other thing is we trademarked the entire tagline. We trademarked the logo with the breast, milk duds hyphen, not your mama's nursing wear. That is our official trademark, and that is what we use whenever we talk about our product.
You've got a logo with a breast in it?
Oh, it's awesome. It's a W with a heart.
Yeah, people think it's a W, but they're actually breasts.
Well, I can tell the angle on the left one. I can
tell
the angle.
And Hooters was named after an owl. I get it.
But is it reasonably to call, you say, high-end fashion duds?
Yes.
Doesn't
fancy duds.
Doesn't duds refer to more of a down-homey, farmy kind of a way?
No, we're kind of going for that hip. We're really kind of marketing to celebrities. We have quite a few celebrities that own our products. The younger hip women that want to keep up with today's fashion. That's
okay.
Kind of who we're going for. And I can't even begin to tell you how many compliments we have on the name and the tagline and the whole presentation of our product.
But besides that, Kirsten, if when they registered their name, if Hershey did not register for other than chocolate, they really have no case. And in fact, Hershey, they're never going to make anything like this, and nobody is ever going to buy your product instead of their product.
And think that exactly.
In fact,
exactly.
This is good for their name.
We offered to put a disclaimer on our website. We offered to change the coloring of our wording because the milk duds is written in, you know, a dark brown.
It's chocolate, babe. Yeah, it is.
So shall we just pronounce judgment on this here and just rule in favor of Kirsten? She seems pretty nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One last question. Why did you go with the Z instead of the S, unless you were just kind of trying to avoid a direct copy?
No, we wanted to match it up to the mamas in the tagline, the mamas with the Z.
Mamas,
not
yeah.
Your mama's nursing wear.
They wanted to make it original and creative. By the way, you do know that if they really want a protracted battle, you'll lose.
Oh, I understand that, and I am committed to going to trademark court because I, for every single reason that you just mentioned,
right.
I really feel confident. But you're right. If they decide to appeal the decision or decide to take me to civil, yeah, of course I'm done, and I'll change my name.
You know their strategy.
I do have two kids to put through college.
Understood. But, Kirsten, you know their strategy, ironically, will be to milk you dry in terms of the legal.
I know.
Oh, until you're sore and raw. Yeah.
So, until I'm begging for death.
Yeah.
I know.
You should be sending one of these to every celebrity mom. There's so many new moms. That's the trend now, is to have babies in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We have a long list of celebrities that own our products. Absolutely.
Well, we will put a story about this on our website. And Kirsten, if you want to hold on, if you want to send us something to give away, we'll give away something on the air. And in the meantime, you should just milk this for all its worth, publicity-wise, of course.
Thank you.
Because when
you
change the name, you'll be like Famous Amos. You will have had to change your name. They will have, you know, given you all this grief in court, and everybody will feel bad for you. And I hope you are working on another name, because you're dealing with the chocolate empire.
I know.
The dark chocolate lord, yeah.
That's right, the dark overlord of chocolate. Hershey and his big castle like Saruman, where they cut down all the trees around Hershey, Pennsylvania. Kirsten, thank you very much. Hang on.
Thank you.